Good morning, everyone. One more announcement to share. Lynn Datton has asked that if anyone would like to contact Ernie, he has a new phone number now, and if you'd like to get in touch with him, and he would love to have calls, especially, you know, as he is grieving the loss of his dear Elsie, we ask that you would contact Lynn. Please contact her through Facebook, and she can give you his number. He would love to hear from more of you. I know many of you have already reached out and have called him and talked with him. Thank you for your continued prayers for him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer now as we open His Word, open the Scriptures. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us Yourself, that You have sent Your Son Jesus as a living sacrifice on behalf of our sins, O God, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bend and bow before Him and worship Him, O God. We thank You, Lord, for You are good. Your very nature, Your very character, You are good. We thank You also, Lord, for all of Your ways, that You are good to us, that You have acted in goodness towards us, Your people, O God. We thank You, Father, that even though we are not physically present together, we are one through Your Spirit. And so we worship You, O God. We worship You in spirit and in truth. And we ask, Father God, as we open Your Word, that You would speak to us, Father, that You would make Yourself known. We pray, Lord, where we need encouragement, You would lift us up, O God. Fill us with hope and joy. We ask, Father, where we need repentance, that You would bring to our minds our sinful nature, O God. And that You would lead us to repentance, O God. We ask, Father, that You would be at work through all Your people, through our community, our nation, throughout the world, O Lord God, bringing glory to the name of Jesus. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So some of you already mentioned on Facebook that we are working with some new technology this morning, which is wonderful. Some of you have already said you can actually read the words now, and that's wonderful. That's great. It's still a work in progress, so I just want to check audio. We're good? Fantastic. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. I remember when I especially was a younger Christian, though really throughout my entire Christian life, that there'd be times when I would feel an absence of God, that God was far away in my daily experience, and I would begin to wonder, is this God's doing, or have I sinned, and therefore He's turned away from me? Is it my fault that I'm in this situation where God seems far away, or where things are falling apart in my life? Is this a consequence of my sins and my choices, or is this the consequence of other people's sins, or is this the consequence of the general fall? And I used to think that I had to really answer that question before I could know how to move forward with the Lord. I think this morning's psalm will show us that regardless of whose fault our circumstances are, our response is the same. and God's answer and action is the same. So turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107. Now, it's broken up into a few parts, and so I'm going to read it and read each part, and then we'll talk about it, and then read the next part, and we'll talk about that. Okay, we'll go through it that way, as opposed to reading the whole psalm in one setting, or you know, in the very beginning, because it's a longer psalm, and so we want to just look at it so we can remember the specifics that we read. Psalm 107, beginning in verse 1. First, we will read verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. This is God's word. In the introduction, it declares, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that we are redeemed, we are redeemed. And he's going to go on and explain and show the different ways in which God redeems. We have here, this is really two sections, the introduction and then the first section. So the introduction in verses 1 through 3, the call to give thanks to God. Why? Because He's good. And the psalmist is going to go through and say many ways in which He is good. Again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those whom He has redeemed praise Him. Let those whom He has gathered from the east and west and north and south. This psalm, in a general way, is going to follow the journey of the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It's going to speak of some of their challenges, but they speak of them. The psalmist will speak of them as a way to apply various troubles in our life to all of us. And so the author is orienting us to those who have been saved, those who have been rescued, those who were in trouble, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, whom God has rescued, redeemed from the consequences, from the damage of their situations. And then the first section we have is verses 4 through 9. The people he's discussing here are called some wander. Some of us wander. And those who are wandering here in desert wastes, it appears that they are poor. They're wandering throughout the land. Why? Because they have no city to dwell in. They have no home. They wander throughout the land because they have no food and they are hungry. They have no water and they are thirsty. These are people who are impoverished. And there is no assigning blame here. It's not saying, well, they're poor because they're just too late. No. Through no fault of their own. They are wandering, looking for life. Looking to be able to establish a family and a home and safety and security. Looking to be fed and sleep indoors and drink water and
and live. And so they, those who are poor here in physical goods, they are in deep and desperate trouble. So what do they do in their trouble? Verse 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. That refrain is going to be repeated 4 times throughout this psalm. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. And what did God do when the people cried out in the midst of their poverty? He delivered them from their trouble. He led them by a straight way to give them a city, to give them a home in which they may dwell, they may inhabit, they may make their home in. He fills their bellies, it says in verse 9. Satisfies their souls. He gives them all that they need. Therefore, the response of God's people, verse 8, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. They were in desperate trouble. They cried to the Lord. The Lord rescued them. And the response is then to give thanks to them, to dwell and think and speak upon the goodness of God, the goodness of our Rescuer, of our Redeemer. Remember the image here of the Redeemer. We see that in the book of Ruth, where Ruth is abandoned and has no land, no property, no food, no way to provide for herself. Her husband is deceased. She followed Naomi, her mother-in-law, back to the land because she wanted to make Yahweh her God, and she wanted to honor her mother-in-law, Naomi. And a distant relative named Boaz redeemed Ruth's life. He saved her, He rescued her, and brought her into the family. This is what Jesus does for us. As we are dead in our trespasses, in our sins, in our guilt, Jesus redeems us out of death, out of the pit of hell. He does that by paying with His own life, exchanging His life for ours. This is who our God is, that He redeems us. Some wandered, were poor. They cried to the Lord. The Lord rescued them. Therefore, give thanks to the Lord because He is good. The second section is in verses 10 through 16. See if you can hear some of the repetition, the patterns here. The first one in verse 4 was some wandered. Now the second section, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from all their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. This is God's word. So here we have some sat in darkness, or really the cause of their sitting in darkness is that they rebelled against the words of God. So some reject God's word. Say, I'm not going to listen to God. I'm not going to follow God's ways. I'm going to make my own way. Either saying, there is no God, or I do not need God. I am powerful. I'll just do it myself. What need do I have for God? Forget what He says. I'm going to go by my own word. And in doing so, they found themselves, the description here is, in prison. Now, sometimes that can be a literal prison. We disobey the word of God enough. We can transgress the civil law and we can end up in prison, yes. But there's also a prison that comes from rejecting God. Our souls are imprisoned to sin. These aren't necessarily people that are actively knowing that they're sinning or aware of their sin. They just are sick. Forget about God. No interest. I find this in many ways to be one of the most common attitudes that I come across in our community, in our day and age. I don't think it's just our community. Not so much that there is a hatred for those who take the name of Christ or for the name of Christ, but an apathy for the name of Christ. That's what I encounter more than anyone else. Sometimes it'd be nice to have a more overt opposition in some ways, just to be clearer in the opposition and where it's coming from. But this sense of apathy to who God is, I'm going to do it my own way. And therefore, they are imprisoned. You get a picture of this with the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He doesn't want to follow his father's ways. Doesn't even want to live in his father's house. And so he takes off, squanders his father's money. And at first he feels like this is a wonderful time. But then the prison of his choices, of his rejection of the father, come into effect. And he's feeding pigs. And he's longing to have the food they're eating because he is so devastated in his life, so distraught, so empty, so poor, and humiliated. He's in prison, though he's free, because he has rejected his father. And so what do those who reject God's word in this psalm do? Those who realize themselves like the prodigal son, it says he comes to himself. And he realizes that this is wrong and he needs his father. And so we see in verse 13, again, the same words as in verse 6 in the first section. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, brought them away from death, broke their bonds, He set them free. If we have rejected God and find ourselves in a place where we are experiencing a prison of our mind, of our body, of our souls, because we have ignored God and not taken Him seriously, because we have said, psh, who cares about God? When we come to ourselves, and that is only by the grace of God that we can, what do we do? Whether we're 1 year old or we're on our deathbed, what do we do? We cry to the Lord in our trouble, and He will deliver us from our distress. And when we are delivered, we say, as in verse 15, let us thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wonderful works for the children of man. We give thanks to God. We realize our distress. We cry out to God. He delivers us because of the blood of Jesus covering our sins and our rejection of Him and our rebellion against Him. And He restores us, not just as a servant, but as a full child of the family. embraced and loved, receiving all of the honors that are part of being a daughter or a son of our Heavenly Father. The third section, beginning in verse 17 through 22. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. This is God's word. Some wandered and were poor. Some rejected God's words, and some were fools. Now, in the scripture, when someone is called a fool, it's not speaking to their IQ. It's saying that they are sinful. And this group of people actively rebels against God, actively turns against God, knows God's word, and isn't just saying, oh, I don't want to pay it, you know, I don't want to listen to God, I don't care about God. They know His ways and they actively sin. Can you relate? We know there's things that we should be doing and know there's things we should not be doing because they are not God's ways, and we do anyways. And we find ourselves in miserable situations. In this case here, it is our fault. It is our fault. We've sinned. What do we do when it feels like God has moved away and is gone and He's not with us, and we realize it's us who have sinned? We do the same thing as the first two groups do. Verse 19. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Therefore, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love. For He is the one who rescues and redeems us, and we should sing songs of thanksgiving. We should sing songs of joy to Him. When we are in miserable circumstances, we cry to the Lord. When we find that we've gave no interest in God and not a second thought, we cry to the Lord. When we realize we have been actively sinning against Him, we cry to the Lord. And then the fourth group, in verse 23 to 32. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. This is God's word. Here are people going about their own business, and through no fault of their own, through the acts, the sovereign acts that are attributed to God, they find themselves in miserable circumstances. The picture here is that there are disasters that are happening around them. Natural disasters, again, attributed to God. And they find themselves in desperate situations. They're not poor. They're not ignoring God. They're not sinning against God. But they're in trouble. And what do they do? Verse 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. And the call then is to thank Him for His steadfast love, to extol Him, to worship Him in the congregation, to praise Him in the assembly of the elders, in the assembly of God's people, to tell I was in trouble and God rescued me. When Jesus and the disciples are on the boat, Jesus is sleeping, big storm comes up. The disciples are terrified because they know they're going to die. They're fishermen. They understand what's going on here. In their fear, they wake Jesus. Jesus says to the storm, "Be calm." They were in despair. They cried out to the Lord, Jesus, and He rescued them and brought them safely to their haven. Some we see are swept up in the circumstances of life. Well, then the final section here turns and it says, it is God who reigns over all. God is over all things, and He is the one who rescues and redeems those who call upon Him. Verse 33 to the end. He turns rivers into a desert and springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. There He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By His blessing, they multiply greatly, and He does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, He pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But He raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is God's Word. God is the one who looks upon the wicked and brings them low. God is the one who looks upon those who are in misery and who cry out to Him. Who look to Him on the cross. Who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and God exalts them. He lifts them up. He rescues them. He redeems them. His Word declares. And we are all exhorted now to consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, whether you find yourself in desperate situation, financially, emotionally bankrupt, whether you find that you aren't really interested in God, whether you find that you are stuck in sin to God, whether you find through circumstances that were completely out of your control and had nothing to do with your sin or your choices, and you are in despair, are in trouble, cry out to the Lord and He will rescue us. Dwell on, consider, meditate on, and give thanks to God for His steadfast love. Let's pray. Thank You, Jesus, that because You died on the cross, because You made atonement for our sin, because You have redeemed us out of slavery to sin, when we trust in You, we are set free. Thank You, Lord Jesus, whether it is because of our fault and we need to repent, whether it's because of our apathy, whether it's because of no fault of our own, O God. If we are in despair and distress, O God, please call us to cry out to You that You would rescue us. We pray this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.